Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. One of his followers asked Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Here in the DMV, we're pretty used to people coming and going. It's the nature of many metro areas, and perhaps particularly this one, where so many in our community are employed by the military or the government, who, along with everyone working in industries that have contracts or relationships with them, make up a pretty significant percentage of our congregation and beyond these walls. All that turnover is certainly good for the vitality of the church. People come in with fresh experiences, infusing the congregation with new energy and ideas. But the flip side is that we have to say farewell to so many of y'all too often. That's hard for everyone. It's even harder when loved ones are gone forever, under any circumstances. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember and honor all our military members who've died serving our country. I know for many of us, it's a difficult day of reflection and bittersweet memories and aching hearts. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus says. "Do not let them be afraid." But we are. Each of us has experienced loss of some kind, of loved ones, relationships, of vocations, of hopes and dreams. But broken, aching, troubled hearts mean that they and we have been overflowing with love. Much of that depth of feeling was expressed at our session meeting this Monday, when our new officers professed their statements of faith by sharing an aha or epiphany moment with the current elders. Quite a few incoming officers talked about the legacy of love and loss. And there were also some delightful stories of meeting spouses in church, along with many moments of unexpected grace. One that I share with permission was offered by a relatively new member whose wedding I'd officiated. She said, "When my husband and I started attending services at OPMH, I felt amazed by the message of openness and love that is professed here. I was reminded of that yesterday when a man entered our safe, holy temple and interrupted our worship with his pain, suffering, misinformation, illness, malice," she said. I studied and taught words for a living. I believe in the power of words. I believe that as humans, we have rituals and hold ceremonies in order to infuse our lives with meaning. We speak meaning into our faith. It upset me that someone should enter our open, loving, forgiving space and speak hatred. But that's why we have leaders, shepherds. After the man left, love, forgiveness, and openness were spoken back into our space. Christ's example and teaching, she said, make this sort of reaction in the face of malice possible. I think that's a miracle. She closed her statement of faith by pondering, my epiphanies seem to only take place in church. I get worried because it's hard for me to see God's love and God's miracles in the world. But we're part of the world, aren't we? Though I struggle, I promise to keep looking for God's love everywhere. Jesus prepared to leave his followers by assuring them and us he'll be back in the form of the Holy Spirit to help them find God's love everywhere. What this looks like in each of us is healing, hearing, helping one another. In the Greek, parakletos is translated as advocate in our reading this morning, but other renderings include comforter, companion, and helper. This advocate spirit is the one who will shepherd us through our lives here on earth when Jesus is no longer with his disciples in the flesh. And this advocate will also guide us around the many dwelling places in God's great house after death. Because our lectionary reading begins just after the much more familiar words we so often read at memorial services. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And that's what Jesus goes on to do, to remind his followers and us that he's going. That's hard to accept. But he's preparing a place for us by sending a spirit helper so that we're never alone, even when so often we feel as though we are. We were not alone last week. We were deep into spirit-filled worship where our children read scripture and sang to honor our Sunday school teachers' years of service. We were exploring Praise Psalm 148, acknowledging that especially when we're feeling helpless in the face of all that's going on in our lives and in the world, we can respond by offering praise and gratitude. It's a powerful tool that connects us to God and to one another. This sanctuary was flooded with the comfort and guidance of God's advocate or spirit helper, even in the confusion of our minds, even in our fear, even in the compassion for one child of God who was so broken, but so drawn to a community of faith. We're emboldened by the Holy Spirit to stand in strength and courage as a sacred community. Eleanor Roosevelt famously said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face." I believe we all did, with Jesus' help. At the risk of anyone replaying a similar scenario again, even in our minds, it takes practice to learn to be brave. Jesus knows. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Christ's peace is the antidote to our very many real human fears. We experience that peace through mercy and forgiveness, listening to and really hearing each other, through reconciliation and love. That's what being brave looks like. How We Learn to Be Brave is the title of a new book by DC Episcopal Bishop Buddy, who courageously asked our new administration to show mercy from her pulpit in the National Cathedral. Very few people are born preternaturally brave. That's why our military and first responders train as they do, and so do our advocates of justice, preparing to speak truth to power. It's scary. But as people of faith, we have an advocate for love and righteousness and all the things that Jesus' ministry stood for in the Holy Spirit. We need to prepare to be open to where that helper spirit is leading in any given moment by showing up here, engaging and confessing our brokenness, not only before God, but before one another, by passing the peace of Christ after we've been reconciled each and every week. Because that Sunday glow can wear thin by Friday after a grueling week at the workplace. God's hope for us, I believe, is that we can grieve our losses in order to return to wholeness, recognizing that anxiety and fear and troubled hearts are signs of life, signs of loving, signs of caring about others, about everyone, everyone whom God puts in our paths. We never really feel ready, just like Jesus' disciples didn't feel ready for him to leave them. They couldn't begin to imagine what that was going to be like. No one could imagine it. Not only would their dear friend, teacher, rabbi, leader be put to death, which was traumatic enough, but then they would have to figure out what to do next without him, without guidance. Except Jesus was saying in this long farewell discourse in John's gospel that he was sending guidance in the form of the advocate who would teach them everything and remind them of everything Jesus had ever said to them. I am going away and I am coming to you, Jesus promised. I have told you this, he added, before it occurs so that when it does occur, you may believe. He tries to prepare them and us. But we almost never feel fully prepared, do we? In front of the board of directors, going on stage, getting into the pulpit, onto the battlefield, into any unexpected situation. There's no playbook or training that prepare us for everything in life. This is partly why rituals in our culture and certainly in our religious practice are so vital. They rehearse and name and honor our major transitions in life, from baptism, where we rehearse dying to the old life and being born anew, to the Lord's Supper, where we are reconciled with God, remembering who and whose we are in Christ's name, to confirmands and new members professing their faith, to weddings, joining two as one, to funerals, where we acknowledge that we are not alone, that we believe in the power of the resurrection. In all these, we remember and prepare for the many dwelling places in God's house where all are welcome, where we remember the broken body of Christ. Sometimes we spend so much of our lives trying to prepare and accomplish and achieve, we can feel exhausted, even numb to the pain of God's world. So many in this community are living with very high stress levels, regularly exposed to trauma, often with very few built-in support systems. We are so blessed to be part of this compassionate, connected, caring congregation, which lives into its faith in so many ways, including listening for the guidance of the Spirit by reaching out and tending to one another. Our faith in action together might be the closest we come to feeling the Spirit's presence, to knowing God. Lebanese poet Khalil Gibran expressed it powerfully a century ago. It is said that before entering the sea, a river trembles with fear. She looks back at the path she has traveled from the peaks of the mountains, the long winding road crossing forests and villages. And in front of her, she sees an ocean so vast that to enter there seems nothing more than to disappear forever. But there is no other way. The river cannot go back. Nobody can go back. To go back is impossible in existence. The river needs to take the risk of entering the ocean, because only then will fear disappear, because that's where the river will know it's not about disappearing into the ocean, but of becoming the ocean. Friends, we practice that journey here. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going, Jesus says, and I am coming back in a new way to live and love and lead through you, through each and every one of us. Amen.